things to say already, but I'm just going to allow the Holy Ghost to also add to it, apart from what I have. She said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, that's what power. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. And we said that the word I am with you confirms that Jesus here is the Messiah, and then he's God who is with. No human being says, I'm with you. Well, except he just wants to support you, you know. I'm with you there, and they will show up. Human beings are like that. I'm with you. Remember, in the boarding house, I was to lead a protest. And so we had this thing about the food. We felt the food wasn't well prepared. I remember in the boarding house, did you ever see the head of your fish? Okay, I wrote that article in my first year. Where is the head of our fish? So he got me the nickname Pressman. So I said, where is the head of our fish? So somehow people never ask that question. They say, that's true. Where is the head of our fish? But we didn't find it. So when I became a prefect, I raised the issue again. So where is the head of our fish? And of course, I increased my demands. So I called the seniors into the room. We met at, I think it was Powell House. No. Field Houses. I think it was Powell House. And so we met at Powell House, and all those prefects were there. And so I read out my 11-point agenda. He said, we're going to confront the principal with this. And I was saying, yeah. So we're going to confront the principal. We're going to tell him what we want. I said, yeah. So I told them, I read my speech out like Martin Luther King. So yeah. But no, we're with you. Say, I'm with you. I'm with you. So I took the letter to the principal myself, delivered it at his office, gave it to the secretary. Of course, the principal read what I wrote. And he became furious. How can my student write this kind of thing? I said, we demand immediately to my principal. So he asked them to go and call all the prefects and then the seniors. I don't know how God know what happened, but the man called, right? And people heard, because I went, myself, who was the head of school, was deputy head of school, we all went there, just the three of us. So as we entered, the man was angry. He said, who wrote this letter? You know, it's supposed to be we did. So the head of school looked at me. The head of school looked at me. I said, you know, I had a problem. I said, I did. The man said, you did? Who are you? I mentioned my name. No offenses. So he said, you have got, and the later governor of Oyo State, Lamadison, was seated there. He said, you have got. He wasn't the governor then, of course. He said, you have got. I said, no, sir. We're demanding our rights. My point was, as soon as my mates, and I'm sure they're going to watch this one day, they heard, the hostel became desolate. All the seniors ran home. Others saying, I'm with you. Keep dancing. I'm looking at you. I'm with you. I got back then. Someone said, but you two, why did you write that? You know. But Jesus didn't say that kind of I'm with you. He actually meant I am with you. Not I'm for you. Go. They go. I go meet you. No. I am with you where you are. I'm there. So he confirms who he was or who he is as being God. I am with you. It's only God that can say, I'm with you always. A servant can say that. So when he says, I am with you always, we say that confirms it is the God we read of in the scriptures. And then for using the word always, it shows you that it's eternal, which means we can read the story of his faithfulness throughout. You know, that statement confirms a lot to me. You know, he said, I'm with you always. Which means that he had foreseen their weaknesses. Are you there? Their frailties, their errors, their sins, their incapabilities. He had foreseen where they'll make errors. He had foreseen where men are going to accuse them. He had foreseen the popular days and the unpopular days. He said, in all of that, I am with you. Hallelujah. Confirming who he was. The very God that we read in the Old Testament scriptures, as we call it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So yesterday we began to look at Abraham. Because we said in Exodus 3:14, he says, say them, I am that I am, and I'll be what I'll be. The word from the Hebrew word, avah, from ahiyah. Avah means, it's a verb, is like using a pronoun as a verb. A pronoun as a verb. And deals with the past tense participle, the present tense continuous. That's the way the word is. It's a very strange connection of words to use for a person. I am that I am, I'll be what I'll be. And Moses applies that when he wrote about the new creation, Genesis 1:4. And God said, verse 3, let there be light. The word be light. Be is from the word ahiyah, where you have I'll be what I'll be, I am that I am. Moses confirms, therefore, that God is light. God is spirit, Genesis 1:2. God is light, Genesis 1:3. And God is the day that we dwell in, Genesis 1:4 and 5. Can you say amen? And so he repeats it again, Moses in Genesis 6:2. I am Yahweh. I am that I am, I'll be what I'll be. By my name, Yahweh was I not known to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by the name of El Shaddai. Which is, he confirms that I am the same one who was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we said yesterday, remember that God is a missionary God. Remember that? He's a missionary God. At the World Changers Conference this year, to the glory of God, we're going to spend good time on that. He's a missionary God. And I believe after that conference, you know, we are believers, I'm ready to talk about World Changers Conference, right? You will be glad at your mission on earth. I love what Miles Monroe, I've mentioned him twice now, what he said, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. I agree with that statement 100%. When you don't know purpose, who are you? The first question a man needs to ask is, who am I? Because if you don't answer that question from the right places, the world will answer it for you. They will answer it by education. They will answer it by technology and science, philosophies. But you need to answer that question quickly. Who am I? Who am I in this world? Why am I in this world? Questions that when you ask, whatever you do will be built around it. Hallelujah. Okay, so we began to focus on Abraham. And I said to you yesterday, Genesis 20. Turn there quickly. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Genesis 20. God calls Abraham, verse 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. He is a prophet. For he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And thou shalt live. And a prophet is a spokesperson. A spokesperson of God. And thou shalt live. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we saw what happened here. In the life of Abraham, we saw visions. He had visions of God's purpose and plan. Abraham had visions of God's purpose and plan. Abraham, Genesis 15. You see, Abraham had visions. Verse 12, through to 21, he had visions. Abraham had revelation. Right? Now we see next, Genesis 20, Abraham had workings of miracles, because when he prayed, in verse 17, God healed Abimelech. Now, who prayed? Abraham prayed. God healed. signs and wonders were wrought through the hands of Paul. He didn't say the hands of God. God wrought signs and wonders through the hands of Paul. Abraham prayed, God healed. And his wife and his maidservants, and they bore children. So, which means that God will always partner with man. Abraham prayed, God healed. Abraham prayed, God healed. Which means prayer is how we carry out God's will in the earth. Abraham prayed, God healed. And so we find there the workings of miracles, the gifts of healing, and the gifts of faith. So Abraham had visions and revelations. He had a word of knowledge. He had a word of wisdom. He had a word of knowledge, for example, in chapter 18. Is it 18 now? Yeah. Chapter 18, about Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew about Sodom and Gomorrah by word of knowledge. He wasn't there. And he knew what was going to happen as word of wisdom. And then he had different encounters with angels, what we now call the son of spirits. Why is this happening to him? Because he's on a mission. Say, I'm on a mission. Don't forget I said yesterday. When you are mission conscious, you are supernatural conscious. Because you know that this work cannot be carried out in your strength, in your power. It's not going to carry out in how smart you are. It's good to be smart, not wrong in being smart. It's good to be intelligent, not wrong in that. It's good to know to speak well, not wrong in that. There's absolutely nothing wrong in speaking well. It's good to, you know, look good, it's not wrong in that. But you see, that can't carry out the work. What will carry out the work is not by power, not by might. You remember, Zechariah was in the building of the temple. And we know what the temple is now, right? See, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit. Glory to God. It's your birthday, right? I pray for you. Marcos, if you know, stay there. Oh God. There's honor on you. Honor on you. Honor. 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 That's what I see, honor. And today you enter into much grace that brings honor. Honor. Respect. Regard. It means that much more will be done. Because honor comes so that men will submit to the truth of my gospel. Honor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Alright, so, which is the office. So, if we have an office, if it's true, we're sent into all the world, and we saw that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that means coming with that is the work of the Spirit. It can be done by being smart. It can be done by being smart. It can be done by being smart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's done by my spirit. So, we find that. Now, I wanted to focus on something. I told her, honor. Yesterday, I was going to talk about it. You know, Abraham, and we go back to other people. You know, we mentioned Noah yesterday, right? We mentioned Enoch. And we said Enoch too was able to name his son Methuselah because he knew absolutely what was going to happen. That's some boldness, right? You know, you have that boldness now. To be so bold about what God's going to do. It's so bold about it. What God's going to do? Why do you think I go on social media and put out the word of God? Put out the word of prophecy? Because I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. You know, this year, the Lord just asked us to teach two things. I told you, without telling me why. Talk about healing, and then talk about negative thoughts. See how it played out? Can you see it? Yeah. And you be bold. Be bold to do what God asked you to do. You hear that? Be bold. Be bold to do it. Be bold to do what God tells you to do. Be bold about it. Praise the Lord. So, Enoch was bold. He named his son. Just like Isaiah. That was the practice of the day. Isaiah named his son Emmanuel. He said, because God's coming with us. They would have laughed at him. He said, no. The virgin shall conceive, and that wasn't his wife, and bring forth a child. And Isaiah said, behold, the children the Lord has given to me, they are for signs. They are for signs. Which means they will show you what God will do. And Jesus became the fulfillment of what Isaiah said. So, you know, you can't be that bold. Can't be that bold. Praise God. Can't be that bold. Can't be that bold. Be bold about it. So we will see Noah. Noah equally said 120 years more. Genesis 6:3. Noah was very bold. We also saw Noah, the workers of miracles. The ark was a working of miracle. Gifts of faith. Power of God in demonstration. Now, notice something about all these men. And the Bible is very honest about them. We found Noah much later, a man who had his own frailties. He got drunk. At some point, it's not good to get drunk. It's not even good to drink what can get drunk. Is that clear? But Noah was drunk. And Jesus called Noah his prophet. You know, you and I, we say, no. No, he's disqualified. No, Jesus didn't do that. And we say Abraham too. Abraham was a man. Allah thought in Exodus, Genesis 20. What was in Exodus? You know, Abraham said in 2, she's my sister. And we know that wasn't the total truth. I thought the first thing God will do there will be, Abraham, why did you say that to him? Now, you wouldn't have said that. Abimelech didn't know Sarah was your wife. No. God simply said, he is my prophet. You know, this is therefore return his wife. So I'll say honor. Say it again, honor. God, no, and this is the same fellow, just read a few chapters before. He's telling God, can I just use Eliezer? He doubted. That's what he said. Can I use Eliezer? Which means he walked in doubt. Just before then, he said, okay, in chapter 16, he takes on another wife. A wife who's a maid. Or less another woman. And all that is in his history. And God says he's my spokesperson. And you don't shoot at him because he had Agar. You don't shoot at him because he got drunk. You don't shoot at him because he didn't tell all the truth to Abimelech. Did I should shoot at him because he goes to the battle of Sodom and he's likely killed people and brought back, you know, Lot's stuff. No, you don't shoot at him at all. That's what God is using. We all need to learn that honor. And I've told you many times. If we don't learn the honor of God's word to honor those whom God will use or has used, we won't have the move of the Spirit last in our midst. Praise the Lord. Say, I comply and I obey the honor code. There must be an honor code amongst us. And that's Abraham. He's just a typical man. No. He's a typical man with the grace of God on his life. The Bible is very honest about these guys. We don't worship them. We only worship God. Don't forget that. Look at all this. Isaac knew. As Isaac laid hands. As he laid hands on Jacob. And then Esau comes and says, no, I'm not. I'm Esau. That wasn't me. Isaac knew. He knew by the Spirit what had happened. A prophet of God. He uttered the things of God. He knew by the Spirit. Jacob, same thing. Jacob knew who Joseph was. Now, we often think that Jacob just loved Joseph like the way... No. Jacob loving Joseph is a supernatural element. He knew who he was. Because Jacob is a prophet. And you see, many times, some of those patriarchs had this thing about you know, having their own natural affection. You know, Jacob also, you know, I mean, Joseph also wanted his own first child to be prayed for by the dad. And dad said, no, he crossed his hands. And when he was going to die, Joseph himself said, when there's an exodus, take my bones. He saw it. He knew things to come. Hallelujah. So God's promise of salvation comes with his promise of an abiding presence. And if God is abiding with you forever, it's because you are his spokesperson and you are his partner in the earth forever. Hallelujah. Are you there? So I walk in the supernatural. I walk with the supernatural. Let's see a few more things. Let me close. And so we find in them the revelation gifts, the utterance gifts, and then the power gifts. And in Exodus chapter 4, we read that yesterday. Exodus chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Exodus 4. Verse 12. Now therefore, go, and I'll be with your mouth, and teach you what you should say. Hallelujah. Say, God is with my mouth. That's your transcript, right? I'll be with your mouth. I'll be with your mouth. I'll be with your mouth. Which means God uses my mouth. My ears. Let me see, it causes me to hear the right things. He uses my eyes. Glory to God. I'll be with your mouth. Teach you what to say. So, put your hands in there. Go to Luke 12. Luke's Gospel 12. Verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost will teach you in that same hour what you ought to say. What do you think it means? Look at the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 4. This was Peter. So verse 8, sorry. This is Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander. They are before them. And in verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, hallelujah. So being filled with the Holy Ghost is God being with your mouth. So when I speak in other tongues, it's a sign that God is with my mouth. He's with my mouth. He gives me what to say. He gives me how to say it. And where to say it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yep, yep. Oh, we give you praise. Don't forget what we said. Sevenfold. Right? Sevenfold. Sevenfold. You know, we have not prayed enough. You have not prayed enough. You should pray more. You should pray more. You should pray more. You pray about everything. You pray about everything. I pray about everything. You know, we think you pray when things go bad. No, you pray about everything. You don't pray when there's trouble. You pray about everything. You pray when you got the job. You pray when you made the billion. You pray. You pray when there's none. You pray you got healed. You pray when you got healed. You pray when you were ill. You pray when you got healed. You pray about everything. Glory to God. You pray to go on evangelism. You pray when you're done with evangelism. You pray about everything. Glory to God. Glory to glory. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Oh, we give you praise. So we know he's with our mouth. To speak. With our mouth to speak. And And the tide is changing. It's changing. And changing well. At the meetings to come. Both the smaller ones and the greater ones in number. At the meetings to come will come torrents of the glory of God. Torrents of the glory of God preparing you for the harvest. Torrents of the glory of God. Torrents of such that you won't know much of what had happened until years down the line. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So we get back to honor. We need to honor ourselves. We need to honor ourselves in the house of God. Honor ourselves amongst ourselves. We don't allow offenses to come in. Offenses. We don't allow a root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. You know, the Bible says Esau had the root of bitterness. Remember? Esau had the root of bitterness. And the root of bitterness in Esau led to him being godless. When you're bitter like that, it goes into other things and you begin to speak down on supernatural things. You speak down. Remember this lady came to me and she came for counsel. She was going to come for a counsel about her marriage and her home and a couple of other things. So as we were talking, I just saw her in front of a university gate. And as I saw that, I just knew what had happened. I said, because sometimes in visions, all you have is you have seen and knowing. As you see something, you know what it means. I said, when you were in school, did you say so, so, and so, and so? She said, yes. How did you know? I said, I just saw it. Well, when you said it, right, Satan walked on it. You didn't say it once. You said it in a joke. I said, there was a time you said it amongst your friends in the room. And there was even a Muslim lady that was there. And she had to come. She said, how did you know? Oftentimes in Revelation, as you keep talking, you keep seeing more things and getting to know. She said, how did you know? I said, I saw it too. She said, so Satan went and walked on it. Of course, she asked, what do I do? I won't tell you what I told her. Lest you go and do it so that you come and ask me what to do. You know, there are people like that. They just wait for the solution. So since there's a solution with pastor, let me go and commit the crime. Somebody once told me, Kenneth Higgins said he was out of the will of God for 12 years. He said, that means that if we know what he knows, we can decide to be out of the will of God for 12 years. I said, you are not just mad, you are maddened. How would you say that? This is not, your own is not ignorance, your own is rebellion. That's why sometimes some people listen to the story of a man of God mischievously. Rather than learn how God can be faithful in our ignorance, you learn how to disobey God from the story. How about that? It's like learning about the grace of God and how, you know, in spite of us, he uses us. And some people say, it means I can do whatever I like. No. It means that when you fail, God is with you. That's what it means. He didn't say, go ahead and fail. No. So, you know, oftentimes like that, we need to just watch the things we say. You see, there's no excuse to say I said it in anger. Anger already is the same. Say, well, the person annoyed me. It doesn't make any difference. You know, and we look at scripture well. Like we said, Numbers 12. You find Moses' siblings, Aaron, Miriam. You know, maybe they had a point. I remember every time me and Bro Tok talk about this story. We say, he always says this. So I think last time he reminded me. Every time we talk that story, then he said, you know, even Moses, when he shouldn't have married, went to marry an Ethiopian. Then he told me last, I said, I know what you are going to say next. I said, what? That we don't know. Because we don't know. The reason why I don't know is because, see, those two are enough. For what happens. It's not me that you use for test and test practical. I don't know. Because when God doesn't say anything about something, he didn't just say, what? In fact, he asked Miriam, say, you, who are you? You know where God asks you, who are you? You don't answer back. Excuse me. Who are you? I mean, said that sister. Is that an office in the body of Christ? He said, well, I run my company. Is that not an office in the body of Christ? Do you understand? You know, is that an office? We're just smart enough. And for you to know who Moses was, Moses wrote the story so that you can learn. He wrote it so that you can see. You know what Lord asked him? Were you not afraid? You know? So there are things you know what to say and what not to say. I still talk about that fellow. You know, went to his room and then he went off and on. He just had no control about what he was saying. You know, I'm very strong on doctrinal truth. I could be very hard on it, but not on personalities. And so he went on and on and on and on. I told my friend who took me there. They are both medical doctors today. As he walked away, I said, that guy will not end up in the ministry. Not that I saw anything. I could have been wrong too. You know, I'm not God. I don't make things come to pass. But I said, why? I said, it doesn't look like somebody who wants to end up. You see, if you are driving to Ibadan, okay, and you are going like this, you know, you don't expect to land in Ghana. Because when you use words like that, you borrowed words from people that are not born again to talk about men of God. They are not smart. They don't know. And that's just what it is. You know who they are. Somebody may not like Brother DG. But the guy belongs to, let's say he's in another church. But you are under Brother DG's fellowship. The way you see him is not the way they will see him. So even if they call him names, you can't. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't. Some principles are understand it. Because the truth is, God will always use men. And men will always be men. The moment you understand that, it makes sense. And that also applies in the home. I've taught you this over and over again. We can have families who can literally walk in the glory of God if we all honor ourselves. See, that woman in your house is not just your wife. She's God's servant. That fellow in your house is not just your husband. He's God's servant. Learn to see your siblings and spouse, right, in the light of who they are in the body of Christ. Learn to see your colleagues, even at work. Now, they may not be a member of this church. Doesn't make any difference. In the light of who they are in Christ. You know, and you know, that's how you should do it. Go back and listen to some teachings at this hour. You know, flood your mind with the word. We had one we taught. Tell it not in Gath. How to protect the vessel. We had another one. When the anointed falls. We have a lot of things like that you can just feed upon. And feed upon it. And feed upon it. You know, there was a fellow who told me one time. He said, well, is this not looking like too absolute? I said, I didn't write the scriptures. I didn't write it. See, I can argue anything but not the word of God. You see, I'm a believer in it. Someone told me, well, how can we prove that God is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? I said, I've believed it already. You only try to prove what you don't believe. I've already believed that. You are the one that has qualms with it. I don't have with it. When I woke up and he told me my name was Shego, I didn't doubt it. Right? How did I know I'm male and you are female? I was told. And that's it. How did I know that's the son? They called it the son. I started calling it the son. I didn't say, how do we know we should spell his son? Do the university on it. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with God, Father, God, Son, God, the Spirit. If I'm enjoying it. If I love it. In fact, it unravels God's mercy and compassion to me the more. Praise God. So I don't argue those things. It doesn't matter. So I say, well, with all this, is it not anything without control, anything given to so and so? I don't have problems with this. You are the one that has a problem with it. I don't. That's how God has run his church. Praise the Lord. That's how he has run his church. I mean, see what he told Ananias. Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. That's what he is. That is what he is. He is a chosen vessel. For he is. That's what he is. But he so and so. For he is. That's it. So when God puts his hand on people, it includes their weaknesses, their mistakes, their errors, their future. And I know something. We'll all give accounts of men and women of God who fell and were never restored. We'll all give account of it. We'll all give account of it. Don't think, well, not my business, well, it's yours. You contributed to people's fall when you failed to pray for them, when you failed to speak of them in honor, when you failed to, you know, defend the cause of the gospel as you defend their cause. You contribute to it because scriptures tell you what to do. And you have to do it. A fellow told me, he said, well, I must have shared it with you. I wrote an article, Barabbas or Jesus. That is stuck. It stuck me so much that I cannot get over it. This fellow has my name, you know. And some of you, sometimes you can look like people that we should flog. The fact that somebody eulogizes your pastor doesn't mean he believes him. The fact that somebody speaks well, in fact, he can say anything. This fellow writes eulogies every now and then. Puts my picture right there on his DP. Half leaving what media there. Then he comes in box and asks me, well, I saw the article, sir. Obviously, he was caught by the bug of social tightness. He was moved by social media. So, he had gotten, he had changed his DP to different flags. He had done, maybe put it on his wall. So, he had searched. So, when he saw the article, he felt, he became uncomfortable. You know, that's how truth is. Became uncomfortable. He said, but sir, I said, your article, I can't fault it. I can't. He said, but must we follow Jesus in all things? Yeah. I can still see the conversation and I'm still shaking. He said, because if we do that, how will we reach the world? If we seem to be disconnected with their pains. Ah. You know, you don't argue with that kind of person. I just said, thank you, sir. That was all I said. Because he had caught the spirit of rebellion in the world. Defiance. You think it's about sometimes just being against local authorities. Sometimes you've been against anything that has authority. And you catch it. Before you know it, you think everybody is wrong. You think you are manipulated. You think you are being dominated. You think you are being oppressed. You think you are this one. And Satan is playing the long game. You have to watch it. Praise God. And walk in the honor of God. Amen. Whatever is going to make you quickly angry can't be God. Whatever makes you bitter can't be God. No matter how just you want to justify it. Whatever will make you speak insults at people can't be God. Whatever will make you use swear words can't be God. Whatever will make you use coarse words can't be God. Whatever will make you use words that don't build up but destroy can't be God's spirit. Say, I'm controlled by the Spirit of God. Honor is our lifestyle. Honor is our culture, right? Honor is our culture, and we have self-control. Amen. We have self-control. Glory to God. Glory to God. Dishonor. Dishonor is that which it treats as secular, that which is sacred, and treats as sacred, that which is secular. That is, things that are of the world now become sacred to you. Things that are of God's kingdom look secular to you. This commonplace. Have that honor culture. Honor for your meetings. Honor for those that you pastor. Honor for... You see, honor starts with that single person that you are leading to Christ. And you look at the person and you see the eye of God upon him. And you are devoted. Honor. Honor. Honor is when you just have two people who are your disciples. You promise to check on them. And you knew you were going to be late. You were caught in traffic. You don't take them for granted. You quickly call them. Guys, sorry, I'm very sorry. I'll be 30 minutes late. That's called honor. I'm very sorry. I'll be 30 minutes late. You know, honor is when you have an appointment. And you have a meeting with your disciples. Or even maybe you're a cell leader. And you find a way of moving the appointment. So you can honor the house of God. That's the honor of God. When you do that often, the things of the Spirit will be easy in demonstration. You see, just like when you see a tree, you know a tree doesn't happen overnight. Number one, they will till the soil. Number two, they will, you know, do a lot of groundwork, plant, then water till it comes out. So, before you see the move of God in your city, in your nation, you should plant. You should take a lot of things go on in the background. And one major one is honor. 2012. I was on a plane and I saw how an hostess treated someone. It was one of those flights that I had to, because I was in a hurry, I had to go through the first class. I wasn't planning to go on first class because that was the only ticket available. I had missed my way. So I entered the first class. So the way she treated the man, I just saw something. I saw something else. The Lord said, when you get to Nigeria, go and teach honor and do it often. 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 Some people say, well, this one does not look like human, whatever it looks like to you. God told me to teach it, I'm teaching it. It's in God's word, I'm teaching it. You know, if you have a problem, go and meet God. Ask him whether he's not thinking straight. Or he doesn't understand human rights. I told somebody this on Sunday, and the person was shocked. You are the one that thinks human problem is poverty. God has never said so. You are the one that thinks that's human problem. You can't expect God and sociologists to be reasoning together. You are the one that thinks that's the problem. He hasn't said so. That's why he is rich unto all that call upon him. He hasn't told you that's the problem. You are the one that said that's the problem. Sin is with the rich and poor. You are the one that thinks that's humanity's problem. You know, some people listen to our songs. I don't know what our songs. I hear, the nations don't need food. The nations don't need this. Bill Gates, the nation needs Jesus. And they screamed when they heard that. Yes! But as soon as the social media caught them, the nation not just Jesus. The nations, they need dollar. Don't change your message. Hallelujah. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Let the honor of God permeate your soul. Let it permeate your soul. Anger is not an excuse. No. That the man of God, the woman of God, you know, who is your sibling, your wife, your husband, that they did something that you didn't like, doesn't change anything. Doesn't change anything. Not at all. I make it a conscious effort on my part to not see people outside who they are. It's, in fact, in the last few years, become more conscious. More conscious because I have a long journey to tread. You know, you have a long journey too. Nobody here is going to cut short. They are going the long haul. They are going the long haul. I don't see anyone here who has less than 50 years in ministry. 60 years in ministry. I don't see anybody here. I don't see anybody here who is going to waste away. I don't see anybody here who will decide to abandon the work of the ministry. I see people here who will grow in their careers, grow in their secular lives, but grow more in the work of the ministry. I don't see anybody here who is going to fail or falter. I see people here, wherever they are, wherever it is, they are burning with the touch of the Spirit of God. And when life's troubles come at them, they will come out of it. I see people here, when all is said and done, they will be the testimony of the believer. Amen. So there's no reason. There's no reason. Maintain the honor culture. Well, the world may mock you. Well, they mocked your Savior. The world may think you are stupid. They call Jesus the same. Makes no difference. Let that be that honor culture. Abimelech was to pay for it. The entire household. Everybody. That means dishonor brings the devil on the scene. In Jesus' hometown, all they said was, what they said was not harmful. He just said, is this not? Logically, those are not harmful questions. He just like, is this not of all me now? It's not of all me now. Is it not? You know, don't we know his siblings? Don't we know her friends? Didn't we see her in school? And he couldn't do any mighty work. So dishonor opens the door for the devil, just like doubt and unbelief. Dishonor, doubt, unbelief, and fear are from the same household. Don't say I believe God's word, I dishonor God's servants. You are deceiving yourself. So we're going to reinforce this. Amen. We are Saints Community Church. Hallelujah. Arousing the lordship of the word. Demonstrating the influence of the Spirit. Making lives count all over the world. Amen. So we put our hearts on what we're doing. We trust God. We trust God. We trust God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we walk in the supernatural. We walk with the supernatural. I'll close here. We walk with the supernatural. Oh Lord, God's called us to change the times and the tide of the times, and that we will do. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise. We go for the double, right? We pray about everything. Pray about everything and in anything. Don't make prayer a knee-jerk reaction. Something you do when there's trouble. No, pray about everything and anything. Jesus prayed about everything and anything. About everything. He's going to be baptized, he prayed. He just healed the sick, he prayed. He wants to heal the sick, he prayed. He's going to the cross, he prayed. He came back, he's right there on the cross, he's praying. About everything and anything.
Have more vigils. Have more stay up at night to just pray in tongues. And you burn out a lot. Some of you are complaining about things you should have prayed about. You think sometimes that, let me just pray, let me just ask, Pastor Lan, let me talk to Pastor Funke, maybe she'll give me an answer. Well, it's true, she can. But you know, what about just praying? What about praying in yourselves, in your fellowships, amongst your, you have this erring disciple. You've established him in church, gone through membership class, but he's going off. Don't keep talking about it. You're always talking about it. And you have not prayed about it. Not talking about it. I don't know. Before you know it, the world gets you and say, hey, that's how you pull out this. You don't even know whether they're going to have you prayed? Have you cried at night? Have you labored in the spirit? Have you taken a fast over it? Then I told someone something, the best thing I laughed on the phone. I said, this one is passing and prayer, I will deal with it. He said he spoke like a native Christian. I said, that's what I am. He said, this one, leave him alone. It's passing and prayer. He said, till it is done, we'll stop passing and praying about it. Native Christianity. There's no strategy to it. You will pray and fast if it is done. Hallelujah. Amen. Native Christians. Glory to God. Native. That is not wear suits. No. Fasting and prayer. Pray about everything. Pray in anything. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. Put your hands and bless him. Thank you. We give you.